This podcast is brought to you by Penji. Penji is a creative subscription service that gives you access to pre-vetted, agency-trained creatives from all over the world. From graphic design to illustrations to social media management and web development, it's all included for one monthly price. It's time to say goodbye to the hassle of searching for top-notch creative talent. With Penji, you get quality and consistency delivered right to your inbox every day. Carefully crafted for you by humans. So meet your new creative team today. Head over to penji.co for more and enter the coupon code located within the podcast show notes.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Fully Managed Podcast. Thank you, Anna, so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'm very excited.
Of course. Thank you for being excited. So today you can get more excited because we're going to start with a game. This game is, relatively simple, I would say. I just think that it's kind of fun. I like to personalize all my games for each guest. So I hope that this one is unique to you and that you enjoy playing. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go. Let's do this.
All right. Okay. So this game is called Bold or Bad. So, okay. So, and everyone, no one get offended by honest answers to this question, to any of these scenarios at all. They're all opinion-based. It's just plain fun. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some scenarios of possible marketing campaigns that could be put out there. And you're going to let me know whether you think they're bold and that they should run and that you think that, they would be a good idea, or that they're bad, and maybe not that great of an idea in your opinion. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay, beautiful. Okay, so the first one is a major soda brand uses AI to remix fan created jingles for its next commercial.
Oh my gosh! It's part of our day-to-day life. So yes, it's bold, basically.
I think because it's just being used to like remix them, it's not too bad. I think that since it is using personalization, like actual customer in like sent in stuff, that it's not super, reliant on AI, if that's like the worry.
Exactly. You're not getting the whole creative out of it. It's just remixing and you're inputting and humanizing. Everything on AI is just a platform to, to use.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, perfect. Beautiful. I love that answer. Okay. And next one is a luxury fashion label launches a campaign featuring everyday people instead of models.
I love that. That's bold.
I love that too. I think that's awesome. I think models are, depending on, a lot of them aren't like very, what's the word I'm looking for? Realistic body types sometimes too. And it's nice to see that clothes fit all types of people. That's really lovely as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that, we want to see ourselves portrayed now in campaigns, and if it can be different body types or race, anything. So I feel like that's a bold idea.
Then a sneaker brand releases an intentionally ugly limited edition shoe.
That's bold. Yeah, that's a sneaky. I will be curious about, and that will be, I think people will be curious too, to find out what's happening, what's going on. So that's good marketing, Yeah.
Yeah, I think it always gets people talking when you do a kind of campaign like that, even if maybe it's not a positive thing. I think it still like maintains the brand's relevancy, I suppose.
It's a buzz. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I'll give you two more. Okay. A tech company uses real user data to create personalized billboards for commuters.
I don't know. Now you made me think about this more.
No worries. Take your time.
The thing is, I will feel like that's part, of new trends and things that we're going to be seeing, but it's not bold. I don't see a bold.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I mean, like, it's kind of, we're all using user data. I mean, that's kind of the worst part. So it's kind of just like, it's not really bold or bad. It's kind of just like, it is.
It is. Exactly. That's what I meant. It's like, yeah, like, that's normal. So that's not like a bold thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you're not using user data as a marketer, then you're not really like.
Exactly.
Okay, love that. No, you created a new, entirely new answer to the game, so I love that. okay, last one is a nonprofit builds a fundraising campaign entirely around memes.
A fundraising campaign turned, wow, that's bold. I would love to see that. Yeah, that's creative. So that's cool.
No, I like that too. I think it's like dependent on the nonprofit, because if your work is very serious, perhaps maybe you shouldn't be making any kind of jokes about it. But I don't know. Some people like when brands don't take themselves seriously, even if the nature of their work is serious.
Yeah. And I feel like, for example, and I've seen that now very often, we are now trying to get attention of so many people because we have so much noise, right? So I think you have to stand out and be bold and be creative in order, you know, for people to notice you and make a decision. Of course, I'm not saying like, you know, like it depends on the nonprofit too, but yeah, I think that sometimes is you just have to put something out there. And I just noticed that yesterday when I was coming from Miami to Orlando, it was like, you know, we were seeing like these billboards, and we were like, we don't even know what they're trying to market, but you know, it we were researching like, what is this brand about? So yeah,
maybe if you are researching, maybe what they're doing is working, even if, in a way. But I think it has to be stand out enough for you to want to look it up in the first place too. Like if you don't know what's going on and it doesn't really stand out to you, then it's not bold at all.
Yeah. It's just that I could picture the memes. Just, hey, we need you.
Exactly. It's definitely in your face. Okay, well, thank you so much for participating in my game. I had a lot of fun. I hope you did as well. So now we're getting right into it. I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us kind of what your career journey was up to this point. Obviously, that might include many things. It can be like a little summary. And then what you're doing today and anything in between that you think would be important to mention.
Yes. So I am Ana Carolina Salazar. I am the CEO and founder of Bold Hispanic Marketing Agency. So we... everything that is normal is boring. That's what we say. So, you know, you need to make it bold. And that's what I wanted to, you know, for my clients, right? To stand out, to be different and create campaigns that, you know, will get the attention of their potential clients, but also, you know, convert, but be different, find that what makes you unique, what your value proposition and communicate it, right? But also, and I'm going to tell you the story, but I didn't even know I was going to become a business owner, right? So my journey started because of my dad. He was a famous musician, singer in my home country, Venezuela. And I will go with him to over 200 radio stations, TV stations, like any type of media. And I love, you know, the work that his PR person and his promotion team were doing. So that's when I fell in love with, you know, PR, marketing, advertising, all of that. And I went to school at UCF, University of Central Florida, and I majored in advertising and PR. And then I, my first job was at a company that was starting here in Central Florida. And I didn't do anything that, you know, what my major was or what I wanted to do, but that helped me later on because I started my business. So I had that foundation. But then I work at Univision, which is a Hispanic TV station, at a nationwide level. And that's, I did a little bit of everything. So I learned sales, marketing pitch, sales pitch, like the news, to edit, to do anything, event production, everything, because I always wanted to learn more. And then I, you know, was waiting for that opportunity to work with a promotions team that I didn't have that opportunity. I was also waiting to do a radio show, a TV show, creating my demo reel. That was my dream, but you know, that opportunity also didn't happen. So I went and worked with a nonprofit organization called Prospera, which is a nonprofit that helps Hispanic entrepreneurs to start and expand their businesses. So I was doing all their marketing in the state of Florida, in Miami, Tampa, Orlando. They have different locations. And that's when digital marketing was starting. So I knew what I was doing, but I didn't know what I was doing, you know? So I was curious. I was like, I know I'm doing it. I know we're getting results, but I really, really want to, you know, become an expert of it. And I went to Spain. They were 6 years ahead compared to the United States on the digital marketing master's degree program. So I went to Barcelona, spent 2 years there, and came back, opened my business. We started as a digital marketing agency. But then during the pandemic, we lost most of our clients. And that's when I met my business coach. And he told me, okay, what makes you different? What makes you unique? You know? And I was like, you know, we create bilingual content. I knew I really wanted to create Spanish content so my Hispanic community feel recognized, represented. And you know, unfortunately, we don't know what we don't know. And if we don't have companies or brands or nonprofits doing the outreach, we are not going to have the resources that we need to have. So I wanted to be that bridge. And because I had experience in what I work at Univision, that, you know, that's when I noticed that there was a communication gap with the Hispanic market. So you know, it's been 7 years since I started. And, you know, we are on a roller coaster. Right now we are kind of in the middle of figuring out what we're going to do next. We still are helping brands. We work with major brands like the Orlando Magic, helping them with reaching their Hispanic fans in Central Florida, Advent Health, Heart of Florida United Way, and many other, you know, organizations here. But we also have our digital studio, which is powered by Bold and IDX, one of my partners. So we're helping a small businesses to create a very coherent and purposeful brand. So that's where we stand. And hopefully next year I restart my podcast, which is Hablamos Spanglish. And we continue to tell stories about Hispanic immigrants. So yes, that's a little bit about us. I tried to make it very quick.
You're really good. That was an amazing summary. So I have many questions to ask you about what you just said. Okay, so what do I want to ask you about first? Okay. So first I want to ask about the word bold in general. Like, okay. So how do you define boldness in marketing today? Because there's a lot of noise, as we all know, and standing out can be difficult. How do you help legacy brands push boundaries into culturally relevant work without losing their identity?
Yes, and that's a good idea. You know, for us, you know, when I remember I was between three different names when I was going to choose the name for the company, but I remember I was watching a movie, and then I remember at the end of the movie, it said Bold, whatever it was, Bold Productions or Bold something. And I'm like, I like that name. And then I received a letter from my university, my college I graduated, and it said, bold something, be bold, or, you know, so I kept seeing that word and I was like, let me look to see what that means. So when I look at that word, I was like, wow, this is what I want. Because when I work before and I will hire the agencies, we will get the same thing from all the agencies. If we will do an RFP, you know, there wasn't anything that will stand out, you know, that will say, hey, you know, from branding perspective to, we know we put guidelines, but then how do you make it creative? How do you make it I stand out from the proposal, from the graphics, from every point, right? So that's why I chose that. We were different after I came from Spain and I was able to, you know, capture the essence of so many cultures, because I will travel to, you know, I was in Spain, but different cities in Spain, and they will address each one of them differently because of the cultural, you know, cultural background. I will go to Paris or Italy or, you know, like so many. And I love that, you know, it was like, okay, this is this brand, but then how they are doing it different to be culturally relevant to each one of these countries or even cities. So I fell in love with that. And that's why, you know, I said, okay, to reach the Hispanic market, first you need, that's a bold move, because not all the brands think that they're ready or that they need to have everything, you know, in place to reach the Hispanic market. But, you know, it's a bold move, and we help them make that bold move into reaching the Hispanic market. But also with data, you know, we have the right data about what are the pain points of the Hispanic community, and then how can we address that in a, you know, in a way that is culturally relevant to the Hispanic community, but also it has relevancy, it touches the heart of the Hispanic. So for me, for a brand to do that, is a stepping out of their comfort zone, making a bold move, and daring to make an impact in the Hispanic community. And of course, it's going to be a win-win, because the Hispanic community gets the resources that they need, they feel recognized, represented in a country that they make them, you know, themselves home. And then also the brands, they're capturing a Hispanic community that, you know, they have an economic buying power of over 4.3 billion. So that's bold, I will say.
I love the correlation of not only creating bold campaigns, but also realizing that the decision to break into a wider audience is also bold. Mm-hmm. Because it is. I mean, like, I think people are really intimidated about doing that and that they want to cater to a new audience, but sometimes they're worried that it's not going to be successful, or they're going to offend, or they're not going to do it properly, and that it's going to impact their audience that they already serve. And so it is a bold move to do that, but if you do it in the right way, you can have a lot of success and also have a new client base.
Exactly.
So having served both Hispanic audiences and broader markets, what's one creative strategy that you think works really well for each, but doesn't translate across sometimes?
You know, we don't translate, because we don't believe that, you know, you can translate a document, right? But then when you're talking about cultures, you transcreate, you adapt a campaign to be culturally relevant. And I can tell you about a campaign that we did for Advent Health. It was done for the general market, and it was a campaign for mental health for the general market. And they wanted us to transcreate the campaign for the Hispanic community. But that doesn't mean, you know, that it's only the words. know, it's understanding that in the Hispanic community, there is a taboo regarding mental health. You know, we Hispanics, you know, all the generations don't believe in therapy. And there is a stigma around it. So, you know, there are so many layers to it. While in the general market, you know, it's more acceptable and is something that is not taboo or, you know, so it's different. The conversation is different. So, you know, that's when I see that there is a difference, right? When we encounter something that is very, it's part of a culture. But at the end of the day, when we're doing, for example, a sports campaign, you know, even though we need to address the Hispanic fanatics different, right? I feel like music, sports, and all of this is something that unites everyone. It's not a language you understand. A concert, you know, if you like, even though if it's in Spanish, you know, you like the music, you like the rhythm, and you're there with your friends or your family, whoever, and you're enjoying the time, that unites people. And then if a cause also unites people. So it's just that I will say that just to reach out to that community and take part. Right now, you know, we need to address it with that cultural relevancy if we want to really capture the audience. So there are things that make us similar and that unite us, but there are things that pain points that are different. You know, we need to have different conversations, different messaging.
I love that you're recognizing that there are two sides of things, because like, mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people might take one side of like, we have to completely change this based off of the culture because of this, this, and this. And that makes complete sense sometimes. And then, but there's also scenarios in which there is unifying things that can be done cross-cultural that like do resonate with a general audience. And those things are also really important. And sometimes both of those need to be considered when running a campaign, because sometimes making something that reaches a general audience may be better for a certain campaign or maybe less expensive, and then changing something when going through. But then it might make also more sense to change a campaign based off of a different culture, because there's factors that you have to consider when going into that.
Yes. And actually now I'm listening to his Spanish spots or Spanglish radio spots on a general market station. You know, it's English, you know, that's what they have, only English. But then you listen to a Latino artist there, and then I have her Spanglish commercial. So I feel like because the community is recognizing that even though we're Hispanic, it doesn't mean that we only consume Spanish media, but you know, but you can reach us in our language and also with our music and things like that. If you really want to capture the heart of the Hispanic, is like that. So, yeah.
And speaking of the podcast, okay, since you launched Hablamos Spanglish mm-hmm. podcast to amplify Hispanic stories, how do you think storytelling has evolved in its role for brand building, especially when brands want to connect to niche communities at scale?
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, podcasting is an amazing tool, right, to amplify over voices, to get to know each other, just like we're doing right now, and also reach a different audience or that needs, you know, that is looking for the topics that, you know, we are talking about. So storytelling, for example, in our case, I wanted to amplify stories of Hispanics, you know, here in the U.S. That are making a huge contribution to this country that opened its arms to us, and we now call it a second home. So that for me was really important, because sometimes, you know, the media doesn't portray those stories. Only what you see on the news is that only that 3% of Hispanics that unfortunately, you know, don't represent us, and, you know, but they generalize, and that's when, you know, conflict happens. But that we need more, you know, more podcasts, more tools, more to amplify these good stories. And also I interview like CEOs or from different organizations, and that will tell also the Latino community what they're doing for the Latino community, right? So what are they doing to reach them? What are they doing at their spaces to make the Hispanic community feel seen and part of it?
Emphasizing stories of positivity specifically, because there is, I think, even in the news, I would say in general is pretty negative. Like even you said that you live in Florida, you said, is
yes.
that so even like you must know the negativity around Florida that's in the media just in general. But like I know so many people that have gone there, retired there, whatever, and like they love it and it's a beautiful place. And there's like, I think just the news emphasizes such horrors sometimes that, and you know, they have inherent biases at times as well. And it just like spews a rhetoric that isn't necessarily true about a population or a group of people or just a place. Yes. And yeah, and I love the idea of having a podcast to like emphasize the like importance and positivity around people, because and entrepreneurs, because that is important to do. And you know, the more positivity that's out there, the more, you know, change can happen. People can recognize that, you know, there's good out there with the bad. And that's a really wonderful thing. So I love that you're doing that. That's absolutely mm-hmm. wonderful. Mm-hmm. And even like, with all of that being said, how do you leverage your personal brand in leadership and also visibility, but like protect authenticity and like avoid being like stereotyped or like pigeonholed into like Hispanic marketing only, or like being just this, or like what someone like expects based off of like just a couple things they know about you or your brand?
So that's that happened to me a lot, right? At the beginning, in different ways, where the business world is different. And, you know, in order to fit in, I remember like, oh no, you have to dress in a certain way, or you have to talk in a certain way, or, you know, like you have to do network in a certain, like so many things, like, okay, checking those boxes. But then I remember like coming home and I will feel completely like, you know, like drained. And I will say like, there's something happening. And then I figure out like, I'm not being myself, you know? And that's when I changed and I said, you know what? I'm coming from Barcelona where, you know, you're how you look, how you, you know, so many things don't matter. Is what you can bring to the table, your voice and things like that. So I was like, no, I'm just going to be bold and I'm going to take ownership of the name of my company. And this is, you know, this is who I am. I am, you know, I'm Ana Carolina. I come from Venezuela. I've been in the U.S. At that time, it was like 15 years. Now I'm being here for 22. But I have an accent, and before I didn't use my accent as my superpower. I felt ashamed of my accent, and that I did a Tony Robbins conference and to change that mindset. And in you know, that became my superpower. I transform and I do now Hispanic marketing and I'm going to help my Hispanic community. But then, you know, you need me because that's the only way that you can reach the Hispanic community. And in a culturally relevant way, you know, so the community started seeing me in a different way when I understood my value, but also what I brought to the table. And I then hablamos Spanglish. We talk about, that's why I created my podcast, because I wanted to also hear the stories of these Latinos that felt the same way about me or not. But I was, you know, also learning from them. And at that point, I feel like people started looking at me in different also, but in a good way. I would say that it empowered me to own who I am, where I come from, and all of that. So, and then, of course, a lot of hard work in the community, belong to different boards, different, you know, volunteer for organizations. And you know, my name was always there, and we were starting to get recognized by the Orlando Business Journal as, you know, a minority business, or women who mean business, you know, different awards, the Don Quixote Awards by the Hispanic Chamber as this Hispanic Business of the Year, like there's so many things, right? And I will tell you that's when, you know, when I shifted, if that started happening, you know. And I remember one of my mentors and Hispanic leaders in the community told me also, just be careful. You don't want to be tokenized, you know, that Hispanic person. So I'm also very, you know, I do my research. I know when they just, you know, need to check a box or is very, you know, like, no, this is real. So yeah, that's what happened.
I think like it sucks because like you want to be able to own your identity and be like, and show that you're confident in it. But then there's like this stigma around like being put in a box of like, I only do this.
Yes.
And that must be like really challenging. And I think that is like a lot of identifying with a specific identity that people have trouble with, like being expected to be a certain way or like work a certain way or act a certain way. And that's a lot. That's a lot to deal with. And I think that owning your identity, like you said, and being confident and showing confidence in like what you've done thus far, and being able to share other stories of people that have done similar things or things differently but adjacent in the community is really lovely, because they are able to not only are you able to be inspired by them, but they're also able to be inspired by you in the same way.
Yeah, that has been beautiful, because I will say that I'm not the typical leader. I follow the rules, but I also am very vulnerable in a way that I'm not afraid of sharing my story. I'm a human. So sometimes, unfortunately, to maintain an image or, you know, your personal brand right now is huge, right? So, I decide to share, you know, I decide to share because I feel like that's part of also of my purpose. And I have seen it when other leaders in the community come to me for advice, you know, in things that I have shared, you know, things that happened to me in my personal life. But then, you know, behind the scenes, these leaders come to me and they say, you know, I read this and, you know, I feel the same way. Can you give me advice? What did you do? Or sometimes it's even them just also being open and vulnerable in public and just answering, you know, this happened to me, or, you know, you're going, or, you know, like, you don't have to change. You know, we love you how you are, you know. So it's been amazing, because when we open that door, vulnerability can be scary. But when we open that door, we can help other lives. And by being inspired, what transformed them too.
It's like, I don't think that people, I think that as a marketer and maybe just as a person, I mean, like, you're not relatable if you're not putting your whole self out there. Obviously, like, in a professional environment, there's certain things that maybe you don't want to mention, but it's difficult to connect with a person or a brand if you don't feel that they're human. And in order to show that you're human, you have to show some things like mistakes and, you know, like hardships and different things that you've gone through. And I am such a what's the word I'm looking for? Like, supporter of like emphasizing that, like showing that you are like someone that makes mistakes, like everyone is, and that's what makes us human, and that's important. And putting that out there is inspirational to other people, because they figured, like, I don't know, they could have a really rocky entrepreneurial journey and things have been really hard or difficult for them in so many different ways. But when they see that someone else is successful that has gone through similar things, then it's, you know, that much more inspiring for them to be able to, you know, push forward. Yeah. And without people like you out there talking about their experiences, then people will probably quit a lot earlier without someone to be able to look at and, like, model themselves after.
Yes. And somebody told me, you know, because I would love to write a book and, you know, start doing more speaking engagements and things like that, to inspire our community with, you know, with my story. And I, you know, somebody told me, but don't do it from the pain, right? Do it after, you know, from how you overcome that. And I feel that's important, right? You can be vulnerable and share what happened, but then you're going to inspire more people. Okay, this happened to me, but this is how I was able to continue, right? And rise up from that, you know, that rock that was in my path. So, yeah.
Exactly. And I think that is a perfect place to end on, because we are a little over time, but, like, that was a wonderfully succinct way to end, because I think it's inspirational while also wholesome. This podcast is a way to emphasize stories like yours that are, you know, everyone has a story that can resonate with different people and different audiences. And I think that all stories, specifically professional journeys, are really inspirational and important to share, because a lot of people, there's so many misconceptions about how easy or how difficult or yes, whatever it may be, is to do something. And I like the truth to be out here there. So I really appreciate you being able to share.
Of course. No, thank you so much to you, Shannon, for inviting me to be part of it and share my story and, you know, what we do at Bold and Digital Studio with your audience. And hopefully, you know, we can continue telling more stories at Hablamos Spanglish as well.
Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for watching and or listening. Please check out Bold Hispanic Marketing in the description, as well mm-hmm. as Anna. And I hope you guys have a lovely day. Thank you so much. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Fully Managed Podcast. Thank you, Anna, so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'm very excited.
Of course, thank you for being excited. So today, you can get more excited, because we're going to start with a game. This game is, you know, relatively simple, I would say. I just think that it's kind of fun. I like to personalize all my games for each guest. So I hope that this one is unique to you and that you enjoy playing. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go. Let's do this.
All right. Okay, so this game is called Bold or Bad. Okay. So, and everyone, no one get offended by honest answers to this question, to any of these scenarios at all. They're all opinion-based. It's just plain fun. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some scenarios of possible marketing campaigns that could be put out there. And you're going to let me know whether you think they're bold and that they should run and that you think that, you know, they would be a good idea or that they're bad. And maybe they're maybe not that great of an idea in your opinion. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay, beautiful. Okay, so the first one is a major soda brand uses AI to remix fan-created jingles for its next commercial.
Oh my God. It's part of our day-to-day life. So yes, it's bold, basically.
I think because it's just being used to like remix them, it's not too bad. I think that since it is using personalization, like actual customer in like sent in stuff, that it's not super, you know, reliant on AI, if that's like the worry.
Exactly. You're not getting the whole creative out of it. It's just remixing and you're inputting and humanizing, you know, everything on AI. It's just a platform to, you know, to use.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, perfect. Beautiful. I love that answer. The next one is a luxury fashion label launches a campaign featuring everyday people instead of models.
I love that. That's bold.
I love that too. I think that's awesome. I think models are, you know, depending on a lot of them aren't like very, what's the word I'm looking for? Realistic body types sometimes too. And it's like, it's nice to see that clothes fit all types of people. So that's really lovely as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that, you know, we want to see ourselves portrayed now in campaigns, and if it can be different body types or race, anything. So I feel like that's a bold idea.
Then, a sneaker brand releases an intentionally ugly limited edition shoe.
That's bold. Yeah, that's just sneaky. I will be curious about, and that will be, I think people will be curious too to find out what's happening, what's going on. So that's good marketing, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it always gets people talking when you do a kind of campaign like that, even if maybe it's not a positive thing. I think it still like maintains the brand's relevancy, I suppose.
Here's a buzz. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay, I'll give you two more. Okay. A tech company uses real user data to create personalized billboards for commuters.
I don't know. Now you made me think about this more.
No worries. Take your time.
The thing is, you know, I will feel like that's part, you know, of new trends and things that we're going to be seeing, but it's not bold. I don't see a bold.
Yeah, no, No, I kind of agree with you. I mean, like, it's kind of, we're all using user data. I mean, like, that's kind of what it was for. So it's kind of just like, it's not really bold or bad. It's kind of just like, it is.
Yeah. It is. Exactly. That's what I meant. It's like, yeah, that's normal. So that's like a bold thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you're not using user data as a marketer, then you're not really like.
Exactly.
Okay, love that. No, you created a new, entirely new answer to the game, so I love that. Okay, last one is a nonprofit builds a fundraising campaign entirely around memes.
A fundraising campaign? Wow, that's bold. I would love to see that. Yeah, that's creative. So that's cool.
No, I like that too. I think it's like dependent on the nonprofit, because if your work is very serious, perhaps maybe you shouldn't be making any kind of jokes about it. But I don't know. Some people like when brands don't take themselves seriously, even if the nature of their work is serious.
Yeah. And I feel like, for example, and I've seen that now very often, we are now trying to get attention of so many people because we have so much noise, right? So I think you have to stand out and be bold and be creative in order, you know, for people to notice you and make a decision. Of course, I'm not saying like, you know, like it depends on the nonprofit too. But yeah, I think that sometimes is you just have to put something out there. And I just noticed that yesterday when I was coming from Miami to Orlando, it was like, you know, we were seeing like these billboards and we were like, we don't even know what they're trying to market. But, you know, we were researching like, what is this brand about? So, yeah.
Maybe if you are researching, maybe what they're doing is working, even in a way. But I think it has to be stand out enough for you to want to look it up in the first place, too. Like if you don't know what's going on and it doesn't really stand out to you, then it's not bold at all.
Yeah. It's just I could picture the memes. Just, hey, we need you.
Exactly. It's definitely in your face. Okay. Well, thank you so much for participating in my game. I had a lot of fun. I hope you did as well. So now we're getting right into it. I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us kind of what your career journey was up to this point. Obviously, that might include many things. It can be like a little summary. And then what you're doing today and anything in between that you think would be important to mention.
Yes. So I am Ana Carolina Salazar. I am the CEO and founder of Bold Hispanic Marketing Agency. So everything that is normal is boring. That's what we say. So, you know, you need to make it bold. And that's what I wanted to, you know, for my clients, right? To stand out, to be different and create campaigns that, you know, will get the attention of their potential clients, but also, you know, convert, but be different, find that what makes you unique, what your value proposition and communicate it, right? But also, and I'm going to tell you the story, but I didn't even know I was going to become a business owner, right? So my journey started because of my dad. He was a famous musician, singer in my home country, Venezuela. And I will go with him to over 200 radio stations, TV station, like any type of media. And I love, you know, the work that his PR person, his promotion team were doing. So that's when I fell in love with, you know, PR, marketing, advertising, all of that. And I went to school at UCF, University of Central Florida, and I majored in advertising and PR. And then my first job was at a company that was starting here in Central Florida. And I didn't do anything that, you know, what my major was or what I wanted to do, but that helped me later on because I started my business. So I had that foundation. But then I work at Univision, which is a Hispanic TV station that at a nationwide level. And that's, I did a little bit of everything. So I learned sales, marketing pitch, sales pitch, like the news, to edit, to do anything, event production, everything, because I always wanted to learn more. And then I, you know, was waiting for that opportunity to work with a promotions team that I didn't have that opportunity. I was also waiting to do a radio show, a TV show, creating my demo reel. That was my dream, but, you know, that opportunity also didn't happen. So I went and worked with a nonprofit organization called Prospera, which is a nonprofit that helps Hispanic entrepreneurs to start and expand their businesses. So I was doing all their marketing in the state of Florida, in Miami, Tampa, Orlando. They have different locations. And that's when digital marketing was starting. So I knew what I was doing, but I didn't know what I was doing, you know? So I was curious. I was like, I know I'm doing it. I know we're getting results, but I really, really want to, you know, become an expert of it. And I went to Spain. They were 6 years ahead compared to the United States on the digital marketing master's degree program. So I went to Barcelona, spent 2 years there, and came back, opened my business. We started as a digital marketing agency, but then during the pandemic, we lost most of our clients. And that's when I met my business coach, and he told me, okay, what makes you different? What makes you unique, you know? And I was like, you know, we create bilingual content. I knew I really wanted to create Spanish content so my Hispanic community feel recognized, represented. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't know what we don't know. And if we don't have companies or brands or nonprofits doing the outreach, we are not going to have the resources that we need to have. So I wanted to be that bridge, and because I had experience in what I work at Univision, that, you know, that's when I noticed that there was a communication gap with the Hispanic market. So, you know, it's been 7 years since I started, and it, you know, we are on a roller coaster. Right now, we are kind of in the middle of figuring out what we're going to do next. We still are helping brands. We work with major brands like the Orlando Magic, helping them with reaching their Hispanic fans in Central Florida, Advent Health, Heart of Florida United Way, and many other, you know, organizations here. But we also have our digital studio, which is powered by Bold and IDX, one of my partners. So we're helping small businesses to create a very coherent and purposeful brand. So that's where we stand. And hopefully next year I restart my podcast, which is Hablamos Spanglish, and we continue to tell stories about Hispanic immigrants. So yes, that's a little bit about us. I tried to make it very quick.
You're really good. That was an amazing summary. So I have many questions to ask you about what you just said. Okay, so what do I want to ask you about first? Okay. So first I want to ask about the word bold in general. Like, so how do you define boldness in marketing today? Because there's a lot of noise, as we all know, and standing out can be difficult. How do you help legacy brands push boundaries into culturally relevant work without losing their identity?
And that's a good idea. You know, for us, you know, when I remember I was between three different names when I was going to choose the name for the company. But I remember I was watching a movie, and then I remember at the end of the movie, it said Bold, whatever it was, Bold Productions or Bold something. And I'm like, I like that name. And then I received a letter from my university, my college I graduated, and it said Bold something, be bold, or, you know. So I kept seeing that word, and I was like, let me look to see what that means. So when I look at that word, I was like, wow, this is what I want. Because when I work before and I will hire the agencies, we will get the same thing from all the agencies. If we will do an RFP, you know, there wasn't anything that will stand out, you know, that will say, hey, you know, from branding perspective to, we know we put guidelines, but then how do you make it creative? How do you make it I stand out from the proposal, from the graphics, from every point, right? So that's why I chose that. We were different after I came from Spain, and I was able to, you know, capture the essence of so many cultures, because I will travel to, you know, I was in Spain, but different cities in Spain, and they will address each one of them differently because of the cultural, you know, cultural background. I will go to Paris or Italy, or, you know, like so many. And I love that, you know. It was like, okay, this is this brand, but then how they are doing it different to be culturally relevant to each one of these countries or even cities. So I fell in love with that. And, that's why, you know, I said, okay, to reach the Hispanic market, first you need, that's a bold move, because not all the brands think that they're ready or that they need to have everything, you know, in place to reach the Hispanic market. You know, it's a bold move, and we help them make that bold move into reaching the Hispanic market. But also with data, you know, we have the right data about what are the pain points of the Hispanic community, and then how can we address that in a, you know, in a way that is culturally relevant to the Hispanic community, but also it has relevancy. It touches the heart of the Hispanic. So for me, for our brand to do that, is a stepping out of their comfort zone, making a bold move, and daring to make impact in the Hispanic community. And of course, it's going to be a win-win, because the Hispanic community gets the resources that they need, they feel recognized, represented in a country that they make them, you know, themselves home. And then also the brands, they're capturing a Hispanic community that, you know, they have an economic buying power of over 4.3 billion. So that's bold, I will say.
I love the correlation of not only creating bold campaigns, but also realizing that the decision to break into a wider audience is also bold. Mm-hmm. Because it is. I mean, like, I think people are really intimidated about doing that and that they want to cater to a new audience, but sometimes they're worried that it's not going to be successful, or they're going to offend, or they're not going to do it properly, and that it's going to impact their audience that they already serve. And so it is a bold move to do that, but if you do it in the right way, you can have a lot of success and also have a new client base.
Exactly. Exactly.
So having served both Hispanic audiences and broader markets, what's one creative strategy that you think works really well for each, but doesn't translate across sometimes?
You know, we don't translate, because we don't believe that, you know, you can translate a document, right? But then when you're talking about cultures, you transcreate, you adapt a campaign to be culturally relevant. And I can tell you about a campaign that we did for Advent Health. It was done for the general market, and it was a campaign for mental health for the general market. And they wanted us to transcreate the campaign for the Hispanic community. But that doesn't mean, you know, that it's only the words. Oh, it's understanding that in the Hispanic community, there is a taboo regarding mental health. You know, we Hispanics, you know, older generations don't believe in therapy. And there is a stigma around it. So, you know, there are so many layers to it. While in the general market, you know, it's more acceptable and is something that it's not taboo, or, you know, so it's different. The conversation is different. So, you know, that's when I see that there is a difference, right? When we encounter something that is is part of a culture. At the end of the day, when we're doing, for example, a sports campaign, you know, even though we need to address the Hispanic fanatics different, right? I feel like music, sports, and all of this is something that unites everyone. It's not a language you understand. A concert, you know, if you like, even though if it's in Spanish, you know, you like the music, you like the rhythm, and you're there with your friends or your family, whoever, and you're enjoying the time, that unites people. And then also you know, if a cause also unites people. So it's just that I will say that just to reach out to that community and take part right now, you know, we need to address it with that cultural relevancy if we want to really capture the audience. So there are things that make us that you're similar and that unites us, but there are things that pain points that are different. And, you know, we need to have different conversations, different messaging. So, yeah.
I love that you're recognizing that there are two sides of things, because like, I think that a lot of people might take one side of like, we have to completely change this based off of the culture because of this, this, and this. And that makes complete sense sometimes. And then, but there's also scenarios in which there is unifying things that can be done cross-cultural that like do resonate with a general audience. And those things are also really important. And sometimes both of those need to be considered when running a campaign, because sometimes making something that reaches a general audience may be better for a certain campaign or maybe less expensive, and then changing something when going through. But then it might make also more sense to change a campaign based off of a different culture, because there's factors that you have to consider when going into that.
Yes. And actually now I'm listening to his Spanish spots or Spanglish radio spots on a general market station, you know, it's English, you know, that's what they have, only English, but then you listen to a Latino artist there, and then I have her Spanglish commercial. So I feel like because the community is recognizing that even though we're Hispanic, it doesn't mean that we only consume Spanish media, but you know, but you can reach us in our language and also with our music and things like that. If you really want to capture the heart of the Hispanic, is like that. So yeah.
And speaking of the podcast, okay, since you launched Hablamo Spanglish podcast to amplify Hispanic stories, how do you think storytelling has evolved in its role for brand building, especially when brands want to connect to niche communities at scale?
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, podcasting is an amazing tool, right, to amplify our voices, to get to know each other, just like we're doing right now, and also reach a different audience or that needs, you know, that is looking for the topics that, you know, we are talking about. So storytelling, for example, in our case, I wanted to amplify stories of Hispanics, you know, here in the U.S. That are making a huge contribution to this country that opened its arms to us, and we now call it a second home. So that for me was really important, because sometimes, you know, the media doesn't portray those stories. Only what you see on the news is that only that 3% of Hispanics that unfortunately, you know, don't represent us, and you know, but they generalize, and that's when, you know, conflict happens. But that we need more, you know, more podcasts, more tools, more to amplify these good stories. And also I interview like CEOs or from different organizations and that will tell also the Latino community what they're doing for the Latino community, right? So what are they doing to reach them? What are they doing at their spaces to make the Hispanic community feel seen and part of it?
emphasizing stories of positivity specifically, because there is, I think, even in the news, I would say in general is pretty negative. Like even you said that you live in Florida, you said, is that so even like you must know the negativity around Florida that's in the media just in general. But like I know so many people that have gone there, retired there, whatever, and like they love it and it's a beautiful place. And there's like, I think just the news emphasizes such horrors sometimes that, and you know, they have inherent biases at times as well. And it just like spews a rhetoric that isn't necessarily true about a population or a group of people or just a place. And yeah, and I love the idea of having a podcast to like emphasize the like importance and positivity around people because and entrepreneurs because that is important to do. And you know, the more positivity that's out there, the more, you know, change can happen. People can recognize that, you know, there's good out there with the bad. And that's a really wonderful thing. So I love that you're doing that. That's absolutely wonderful. And even like, with all of that being said, how do you leverage your personal brand in leadership and also visibility, but like protect authenticity and like avoid being like stereotyped or like pigeonholed into like Hispanic marketing only, or like being just this, or like what someone like expects based off of like just a couple things they know about you or your brand?
So that's that happened to me a lot, right? At the beginning, in different ways, where I first, the business world is different. And, you know, in order to fit in, I remember like, oh no, you have to dress in a certain way, or you have to talk in a certain way, or, you know, like you have to do network in a certain, like so many things, like, okay, checking those boxes. But then I remember like coming home and I will feel completely like, you know, like drained. And I will say like, there is something happening. And then I figure out like, I'm not being myself, you know? And that's when I changed and I said, you know what? I'm coming from Barcelona where, you know, you're how you look, how you, you know, so many things don't matter. Is what you can bring to the table, your voice and things like that. So I was like, no, I'm just going to be bold and I'm going to take ownership of the name of my company. And this is, you know, this is who I am. I am, you know, I'm Ana Carolina. I come from Venezuela. I've been in the US at that time. It was like 15 years now, being here for 22. But I have an accent, and before I didn't use my accent as my superpower. I felt ashamed of my accent, and that I had to. I did a Tony Robbins conference, and to change that mindset, and in, you know, that became my superpower. I transform, and I do now Hispanic marketing, and I'm gonna help my Hispanic community. But then, you know, you need me because that's the only way that you can reach the Hispanic community and in a culturally relevant way. You know, so the community started seeing me in a different way when I understood my value, but also what I brought to the table. And I then hablamos Spanglish. We talk about, that's why I created my podcast, because I wanted to also hear the stories of these Latinos that felt the same way about me or not. But I was, you know, also learning from them. And at that point, I feel like people started looking at me in different also, but in a good way. I would say that it empowered me to own who I am, where I come from, and all of that. And then, of course, a lot of hard work in the community, belong to different boards, and, you know, volunteer for organizations. And, you know, my name was always there, and we were starting to get recognized by the Orlando Business Journal as, you know, a minority business, or women of, you know, women who mean business, you know, different awards, the Don Quixote Awards by the Hispanic Chamber as this Hispanic Business of the Year, like there's so many things, right? And I will tell you that that's when, you know, when I shifted, if that started happening, you know, and I remember one of my mentors and lead Hispanic leaders in the community told me also, just be careful. You don't want to be tokenized, you know, that Hispanic person. I'm also very, you know, I do my research. I know when they just, you know, need to check a box or is very, you know, like, no, this is real. Yeah, that's what happened.
I think like it sucks because like you want to be able to own your identity and be like, and show that you're confident in it. But then there's like this stigma around like being put in a box of like, I only do this.
And
that must be like really challenging. And I think that is like a lot of identifying with a specific identity that people have trouble with, like being expected to be a certain way or like work a certain way or act a certain way. And that's a lot. That's a lot to deal with. And I think that owning your identity, like you said, and being confident and showing confidence in like what you've done thus far, and being able to share other stories of people that have done similar things or things differently, but adjacent in the community is really lovely, because they are able to not only are you able to be inspired by them, but they're also able to be inspired by you in the same way.
Yeah, that has been beautiful, because I will say that I'm not a typical leader. I follow the rules, but I also am very vulnerable in a way that I'm not afraid of sharing my story. I'm a human. So sometimes, unfortunately, to maintain an image or, you know, your personal brand right now is huge, right? Right. So, I decide to share, you know, I decide to share because I feel like that's part of also of my purpose. And I have seen it when other leaders in the community come to me for advice, you know, in things that I have shared, you know, things that happened to me in my personal life. But then, you know, behind the scenes, these leaders come to me and they say, you know, I read this and, you know, I feel the same way. Can you give me advice? What did you do? Or sometimes it's even them just also being open and vulnerable in public and just answering, you know, this happened to me, or, you know, you're going, or, you know, like, you don't have to change. You know, we love you how you are, you know. So it's been amazing, because when we open that door, vulnerability can be scary. But when we open that door, we can help other lives. And by being inspired, what transformed them too.
It's like, I don't think that people, I think that as a marketer and maybe just as a person, I mean, like, you're not relatable if you're not putting your whole self out there. Obviously, like in a professional environment, there's certain things that maybe you don't want to mention, but it's difficult to connect with a person or a brand if you don't feel that they're human. And in order to show that you're human, you have to show some things like mistakes and, you know, like hardships and different things that you've gone through. And I am such a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, supporter of like emphasizing that, like showing that you are like someone that makes mistakes, like everyone is, and that's what makes us human, and that's important. And putting that out there is inspirational to other people because they figured, like, I don't know, they could have a really rocky entrepreneurial journey and things have been really hard or difficult for them in so many different ways. But when they see that someone else is successful that has gone through similar things, then it's, you know, that much more inspiring for them to be able to, you know, push forward. Yeah. And without people like you out there talking about their experiences, then people will probably quit a lot earlier without someone to be able to look at and like model themselves after.
Yeah, somebody told me, you know, because I would love to write a book and, you know, start doing more speaking engagements and things like that, to inspire our community with, you know, with my story. And I, you know, somebody told me, but don't do it from the pain, right? Do it after, you know, from how you overcome that. And I feel that's important, right? You can be vulnerable and share what happened, but then you're going to inspire more people. Okay, this happened to me, but this is how I was able to continue, right? And rise up from that, you know, that rock that was in my path. So, yeah.
Exactly. And I think that is a perfect place to end on because we are a little over time, but like that was a wonderfully succinct way to end because I think it's inspirational while also wholesome. This podcast is a way to emphasize stories like yours that are, you know, everyone has a story that can resonate with different people and different audiences. And I think that all stories, specifically professional journeys, are really inspirational and important to share because a lot of people, there's so many misconceptions about how easy or how difficult or yes, whatever it may be is to do something. And I like the truth to be out here there. So I really appreciate you being able to share.
Of course. No, thank you so much to you, Shannon, for inviting me to be part of it and share my story and, you know, what we do at Bold and Digital Studio with your audience. And hopefully, you know, we can continue telling more stories at Hablamos Spanglish as well.
Thank you so much. And thank you everyone for watching and or listening. Please check out Bold Hispanic Marketing in the description as well mm-hmm. as Anna. And I hope you guys have a lovely day. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Fully Managed, brought to you by Penji. Check out the show notes to learn more about today's guest. And to learn more about Penji, the human first creative subscription service, head over to penji.co. And by the way, if you're still listening, it would mean the absolute world to us if you were to share this podcast with a friend and, of course, subscribe.